So over the summer, in the mornings, we'll be looking at the book of Colossians. But in the evenings, Shane and the session have asked me to preach a series of topical sermons. And Shane reached out to some of the other Front Range pastors and asked for topics that might be beneficial for a seminary student to have thought through and to preach through before getting out of seminary. And so the topics that we'll be considering this summer are really for my benefit, and I hope the rest of you will be blessed as we consider these topics as well. But tonight, we will be looking at the topic of the believer's hope at death from this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But before we read these words, let's pray. Lord, we believe that your word is living and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And we pray that as we come to it tonight and as we read it and listen to it preached, that you would cut our hearts, and you would help us to see and to know what we need to know, and that you would change us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. Give attention. This is God's holy word. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Probably heard the phrase that we like to say, that there are only two certain things in this life, death and taxes. And leaving the taxes part aside, isn't it true that death is something that we all face? Everybody has to face death. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're famous or if you're unknown. It doesn't matter if you're loved or hated. Everyone, at one time or another, faces death. And because everyone has to face death, almost everyone has something to say about death. What do people say around the office or if you go to a coworker's funeral, people say, I'm sure they're in a better place. And people say this without any kind of basis, without any statement about whether a person trusted in Jesus or not. And people just have this general, vague idea that death takes us to a better place. Or some people just embrace death as a part of life. Haruki Murakami, a best-selling Japanese author, says, death is not the opposite of life, but is part of it. Or perhaps someone you've heard more about, you would recognize, J.K. Rowling says, to the well-organized mind, death is but the next great adventure. Or maybe a little like the circle of life in The Lion King, people try to cope with death by imagining that their death somehow contributes to the greater good. Steve Jobs took this approach. And he said, no one has ever escaped death, and that is how it should be. Because death is very likely the single best invention of life. It's life's change agent. It clears out the old to make way for the new. So we see all this confusion around us in the culture. And it's important with all this confusion that as believers, we don't look to the world to understand death, but we look to the Word of God. And God hasn't told us everything we might like to know about death in His Word, but He has given us what we need to know. What we need to know so that through Christ, we can face death, not with doubt or fear, but with confidence and hope. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is one of the clearest passages in the Bible that speaks about what happens to believers at death. And it provides for us different kinds of information about death. It helps us to understand a basic definition of death. What is death? And this is the kind of question that your kids are going to ask you. It also helps us to understand why death is sad and painful. And it helps us to cope with death by giving us a vision of what blessings death lead us into if we are believers in Jesus Christ. And so first of all, let's start with the basics. What is death? Well, the teaching of the Bible and the teaching of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in particular is that death is a separation of body and soul. Death is a separation of body and soul. As we begin to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we have to recognize that Paul is using an analogy here. He's using this analogy of a tent. And he's comparing his life to living in a tent. The tent represents Paul's body. And the person living in the tent represents Paul himself, represents his soul. And so this analogy affirms what the Bible teaches elsewhere, that people are made up of body and soul. And we see this body-soul distinction at the end of chapter 4 as well. Look at verse 16. Paul speaks about his outer man wasting away and his inner man being renewed day by day. And so Paul sees himself as being made up of body and soul. In chapter 4, he's using that to describe how he's responding to suffering. But in chapter 4, he uses this distinction to help understand suffering. In chapter 5, he uses it to understand death. And so in verse 1 of chapter 5, when Paul speaks about his tent being destroyed, he's speaking about dying. He's speaking about how at death, his body and his soul will be separated. And this is the definition of death, a separation of body and soul, that as long as a person's soul is separated from his or her body, that person is under the power of death. Now, right away, this definition corrects some wrong thinking about what death is. A lot of people, if you talk to your friends or coworkers, they think that death is simply ceasing to exist, ceasing to be alive. These people tend to think of humans as kind of a biological mechanism, a biological machine, and so death is just the cessation of existence. But this is not true, and Paul rejects this belief. Paul doesn't consider his body to be the only part of himself, but he is body and soul, and after his death, he expects his soul to continue living on. Another wrong view about death, maybe more common in Christian circles, is the idea of soul sleep. Some believe that at death, your soul lives on, but in a state of unconsciousness, a sort of sleep. And it seems that sometimes the Bible speaks of this or teaches this in 1 Thessalonians 4:14. Death is referred to as sleep. But this is not what Paul is saying, and this is not the teaching of the Bible. We see in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that Paul anticipates that he will continue on in conscious existence, that he will be at home with the Lord when he dies. And other parts of Scripture validate this same thing. The thief on the cross in Luke chapter 24, verse 23, Jesus says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And then in Luke chapter 16, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, both the rich man and Lazarus have a conscious existence after their death. And so when the Bible speaks about death as sleep, it's not referring to the fact that the idea that our souls will be unconscious at death, but it's referring to the appearance of our bodies as at death. At death, our bodies look like they're asleep. And at the resurrection, they're going to come back to life like we wake up from sleep. But our souls at death, even though they're separated from our bodies, continue on in consciousness. And so this basic biblical definition of death, it helps us as we think about death. Whatever the experience of death is like for us, we will not cease to exist. We will not lose consciousness, but our body and soul will be separated. But along with this definition, the Bible also teaches us why death is frightening and painful. And so secondly, if you were to face death with confidence and hope, you must acknowledge that death is an enemy. Death is an enemy. And because God created us body and soul, he created us to be a unified whole. And we were created initially to live with our souls and our bodies united forever. And it was sin, the sin of Adam and Eve and our sin that brought about this death. Romans 5:12 says, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. And so death is not natural. And death is not good. And death is an enemy. 1 Corinthians 15:26, Paul uses this term enemy. He speaks of death as our last enemy. And in this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul speaks of how death is unnatural and wrong in using his analogy of a tent. Look at verses 2 through 4. "For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up in life." Paul is acknowledging here that he has a sinful, cursed body, and living in this body of his is hard, and it's painful. But what he's longing for is not to be separated from his body, but it's not to be naked, what he says calls as naked or to be unclothed, but what he's longing for is to have a new body, a resurrection body. And so you see that death is unnatural. Death is not something that you should want. You were not made to be separated from your body, but you were made to be body and soul united. And because death is your enemy, you need to know that it is right for you to hate death. And so when people that you love die, you don't have to pretend that it's okay. You're not exhibiting a weak faith. You're not failing to be truly spiritual if you grieve over the death of those you love. And Scripture is full of examples of grief and sorrow at death. Now, just as an example, David, whenever Saul and Jonathan died, do you remember what he did? Jonathan, it's pretty clear that he was a believer. He had a future hope of eternal life. But even so, David and his men wept and fasted for a whole day. And David composed a song of lament at their death. It's right and proper to grieve at the death of others. And furthermore, because death is your enemy, it's okay for you to grieve about your own upcoming death. It's not unbelief to face death with sadness and grief. If you get a chance sometime, look over to Isaiah chapter 38. In Isaiah chapter 38, we hear the words of King Hezekiah expressing bitterness and grief and sorrow because he had heard from the Lord that he was soon going to die. And death is an enemy. And of course, death brings with it some benefits, and we're going to look at those next. But there is no reason to pretend that death is a natural part of life. It's not something that needs to be just freely embraced as part of life. That you can grieve the loss of loved ones. You can cry. You can feel sorrow. Well, because death is our enemy, death is frightening, and death is painful. Death is scary. Does death scare you? But the Bible says more about death than it separates body and soul, and that it is our enemy. And so thirdly, death is a means of blessing for believers. Death is a means of blessing for believers. And if we think about 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the overall tone of this passage is really a tone of blessing and excitement. Paul is not afraid of death, but he is looking forward to the blessings that death brings. And so what are these blessings? What are the blessings that death brings to believers? Well, first of all, at your death, if you are a believer, your physical suffering will end. Your physical suffering will end. And Paul speaks about this in verse 4. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed so that what is mortal may be swallowed up in life. Paul knows what it is to suffer. And he groans while facing suffering in this world, but he knows that at his death he will be relieved from those sufferings. And so he can say in verse 8 that he would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. And this is a blessing of death. And while being separated from our bodies is not a natural thing, and while death is an enemy, death for believers, it does bring an end to physical suffering. And for this, we can be glad. And maybe we can even say that one of the reasons that God allows our bodies to begin to fail toward the end of our lives is to get us ready for death. And as the weakness and the pain of our present body becomes more and more acute, we long more and more for relief from that suffering. And we long to be with the Lord. And so death will deliver you from physical suffering, but even better than that, death, at your death, if you are a believer, your soul will become perfectly holy. Your soul will become perfectly holy. And now this is a truth that's not directly present in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul's emphasis here is that at death he will be present with the Lord. But you remember 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. When we see him, we will be like him, because then we will see him face to face. See, God isn't going to let your soul into his special presence without first purifying it completely. And so in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23, it is the souls of just men made perfect that are surrounding the throne of God. And isn't that wonderful? Just think about all the problems that you have in your life because of your sin. You've wrecked relationships. You've inflicted pain on other people. You've brought shame on yourself. You've lived in some degree of slavery to sin. And at death, all of these things will be gone. No longer will you have any selfish thoughts. No longer will you have perverted desires. No longer will you give in to sin or feel the shame of having displeased the Lord. Instead, you will have perfect love, perfect joy, perfect peace. You will have an appreciation and a care and a concern for others and a whole, complete, unbounded love for the Lord. But this perfect holiness, as incredible as it is not all. Even more than this benefit, at your death, if you are a believer, your soul will be with Jesus. Your soul will be with Jesus. And this is the blessing that Paul is really looking forward to in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this is what makes him want to leave his body. And in verse 8, he says, "Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord." And this has to excite you all too, doesn't it? Though all of you who are believing in Jesus, you are with Jesus in some sense. By his Spirit, you have a presence and a closeness with him. But isn't it easy for you to doubt his presence? To forget his presence? Isn't it easy to get distracted by the pleasures or the concerns of the world and lose a sense of his glory? But at death, your soul will be in heaven with the Lord, in his special presence, and you will see his face, you will behold his glory, and you will know and comprehend his love. All of your doubts will flee away. All of your concerns and your fears will be gone, and you will just get to behold the glory of his presence. This is the blessing that comes to you at death. Well, death is a certain reality for all of us. And death is dark and frightening. But as we face our own death and as we face the death of others, with the words and the truths that God has given us, by his word, we can know and we can have confidence about what our death will bring. And I want to leave you this evening with the image of Stephen. Now, Stephen, at his death, had the stones flying towards him. His body was being pummeled, and he was dying, and he knew he was going to die. But God let him see the glory of God and to look into heaven and see Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne. And despite his pain and despite his grief, Stephen cried out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And brothers and sisters, you haven't seen a vision of Jesus like Stephen did. But through his word, your hope at death is just as sure. Know that Jesus is at the right hand of God even now. And just as surely as he received Stephen's spirit, so will he receive your soul at death if you are trusting in him. And so you do not have to face death with fear and doubt, but with confidence and hope. Let's pray. Lord, death is a scary thing for all of us. And for some of us, it seems a lot closer and a lot nearer than for others. And Lord, we pray that as we understand the truths that you have given us about death, that we would be encouraged, that we would have hope, and that we would be able to stand in the face of death with confidence, looking to our blessed Savior, Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that you would, we pray that you would encourage the faith of those who are weak. We pray that those who are facing death more immediately than the rest of us, that they would be comforted and encouraged. And Lord, we look forward to the blessed resurrection where we will be united body and soul forever in your presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.